Hello, everyone. Welcome to NGW High Voltage. I am the camera guy, and here with me, as always, is NGW head official Scott Cross. Scott, I'm getting off to a good start this week.
Already. Wow. I was like, wow, just started busting open with a joke. I was like, wow, okay. We're starting off great this week.
Yeah, I can't even say your name right this week. Oh, my.
Well, it's at least better than some of the names that Darter comes up with for me.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Scott, she's already called you Scoots.
Yep. I thought I had a Darter free weekend last weekend, but nope, she follows me everywhere.
Oh, she made up to wrestling for a cure?
Yes, she did.
Oh,
like I said, she follows me everywhere. Everywhere I go, she shows up.
You know, that's something that definitely why talk about tonight, because, you know, that a lot of things happen. But, you know, before we do, you know, I think that we should actually go ahead and bring on our guests, because I'd like to get our guest take on the events.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. And we have our guest this week of Guido. And Guido started on YouTube in 2015 with the Guido Goes Off. He's been the announcer and done commentary for NGW, IWA Productions, IEW, CHWA, and RCW. He called a match with WWF Hall of Famer Bob Orton on his first night commentating for wrestling. He's been announcing and commentating for 7 years. He once had his head shaved by PYT. And a fun fact, WWE's Natalya and Becky Lynch each turned heel within 1 month of taking a photo with Guido. So I don't think any of us should be taking photos with Guido.
Probably not.
So, Scott, what do you say we go ahead and get Guido on here?
Let's bring him on.
Guido, how are you doing?
Hey, guys, how's it going tonight?
Going great. So I definitely wanted to have you on for when we start talking about Wrestling for a Cure, because you are part of the NGW commentary team. So I definitely wanted to get your take on what happened at Wrestling for a Cure. And Scott, I'm going to give the floor to you to tell everybody all about what happened up there.
Well, you know, as everywhere I go, I have to take Donde with me, right? So I gave Donde a couple bucks. They had some little attractions outside. I was like, well, go ahead and he'll be busy. Well, you know, NGW was there at Wrestling for a Cure representing. And, you know, we got in a couple matches, which was great. You know, we got an impromptu tag team match that was added for Wrestling for a Cure. You know, the NGW tag team champions of FAM defended against, well, thought it was going to be Savage and Savage's manager. I don't know where this guy came from. Skippy?
Savage manager?
Skippy? Or he's Donde manager? I don't know. This guy came out of nowhere. And somehow Donde ended up in the crowd. And we got the reunion that I guess a lot of people wanted to see. Yeah, Moppy was there. So it was an interesting night. But we did get an impromptu tag team match between Savage and Donde. Took on the FAM for the NGW tag team titles. So... But, you know, with Donde, you never know what you expect with him.
You have the weirdest road partner, Scott, I swear.
I know. And it's just, I mean, it's just the crazy the amount of trouble I've been in because of this guy, you know.
Dude, you just leave him by the lake. He plays with the ducks. You're set for like 2 hours.
Donde is saying it's Scooter, cousin Scooter.
Cousin Scooter, so
we have Scootin' Scooter now.
Okay, cousin Scooter, whatever. I don't even know where this guy came from. I don't know. He might have been in my car. I don't know. I don't know where this guy came from.
Knowing Donde, he was probably in the bag the whole time.
You know, Donde did pull out a baby out of that bag once. So you never know what Donde's going to pull out of that bag. So with Donde, you never know. But
no, you don't.
So did the FAM come out on top of that match, Scott?
Yes, because Donde, you know, Donde got a little ahead of himself. And then at one point in time, Donde tagged me out, which made him legal. I don't know how. I was still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, how does that work?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure that out. I was trying to.
You're the ref. You're supposed to know the rules. How does that work?
And then somehow, Cousin Scooter decided to put a referee shirt on and come in and try to make the pinfall. I don't know what was going on with Cousin Scooter, but that was a crazy match. But yeah, because of the distraction, you know, the fam was to capitalize and pull over the victory on Savage and retain the NGW tag team titles. So
according to Donde here, Cousin Scooter rode in the trunk.
That's what that noise was. Oh, good. I don't have to get my tires realigned. I'm glad.
And also, Dardar wants to know, what else is he going to pull out of that bag? A dinosaur?
Don't tempt him.
No. Don't. But Donde doesn't need a dinosaur.
I mean, we did have a dinosaur come out with Floyd for his retirement.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's understandable. You're talking about the freak playboy Floyd. So
well, that's the thing about the freak parade is you never know what's going to come out on the freak parade. So.
And we have Zach Zemus Burton joining us in the chat asking, how does a ref not know the rules?
Well, okay. Donde likes to tend to bend the rules. And then whenever you go to look at the rule book to figure out what this is and some of the pages are ripped off. Some of the pages got peanut butter and jelly on them. Then it's just, you know, it's a headache with Donde. Because he keeps making up rules that, and I keep telling him that don't exist. And somehow he writes them in the rule book in crayon and thinks that that's legal because he wrote it in the book.
Aha. Now, you have called one or two Donde matches, right, Guido?
Heck, I've even announced him, and I've even tried to have a conversation with him in Spanish. Hilarious.
Donde doesn't speak Spanish.
His name is Donde Estoy. Where am I? How does he not know how to speak Spanish?
He does technically speak Spanish. He thinks tacos, burritos, nachos, that's speaking Spanish. So technically he does in his way.
But then we also, you know, had Chris Cade facing off against Playboy for the NGW Heavyweight Championship. And that one I'm really interested in because, you know, Cade was attacked when he was our guest on the show.
Yes.
It certainly seemed like PYT had something to do with that.
That would be the idea that a lot of people had, but, you know, according to them, they had nothing to do with it.
So of course, they had nothing to do with it. Totally didn't have anything to do with it.
But, you know, Playboy did say, if I do show up for Wrestling for a Cure, I'm going to turn my back and walk out backwards for all the people at Wrestling for a Cure and the fans. And that's what happened. Playboy came out. Well, we thought it was Playboy. Somebody came out, and it was end up being Virgil Holmes. And Playboy came in the ring and attacked Chris Cade from behind to start the match. So not a great way to start off the NGW heavyweight match, but that's what happened.
Tactical.
I will give him on that one. It is tactical. So it did work out on his end on that one.
I mean, what do you think of those kind of tactics, Guido?
Don't get me started on Playboy. I'm telling you.
I mean, I've heard enough of your censored commentary.
Yeah, you should hear the uncensored. It's much more fun, much more colorful. But I'm assuming since we're an all-ages format, let me just put it to you this way. I can say with absolute certainty, I am not Playboy Double H's biggest fan.
No, that would be Dardar.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a thing, you know, watch out when he invites you to a pool party because he'll expect you to bring the bolt cutters.
Yeah, we got Zach Zemus Burton saying Playboy's the best thing you guys get to be around. And we had Dardar, you know, with a little bit of a spoiler warning here that Playboy won and is still the best champion.
Yeah, well, you know.
There's no accounting for taste.
You know, Playboy did retain the NGW heavyweight title, but, you know, I wasn't completely with it whenever I made that three count. But, yes, they did.
What happened, retain. Scott?
I don't know what happened. All I know is Nicki Monroe decided to jump up on the apron and take my glasses off. And next thing you know, I got hit and I was knocked out.
You're too easily distracted by her, Scott.
Well, you know, it happens sometimes.
Probably trying to keep control of the match, and, you know, he's not supposed to be in the ring.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't see without my glasses, you know. So, but Playboy Double H retained, still the NGW heavyweight champion because of creative tactics, I guess that's when you want to call it.
Yep, that's how I would put it. And then I understand that he also hit Halbert.
Yeah, that's what I seen on after the. I had to watch the footage later, you know. But Halbert did get hit with a curb stomp from courtesy of Playboy Double H for coming in and checking on me, and so. That's kind of interesting, you know, the history between Playboy and Halbert, and for that to happen, what does that mean now?
As long as I've been in this business, I've known Playboy, and Playboy's had a nasty habit of biting the hand that feeds him, and if he can get away with it, he'll do it.
It seemed to me like Playboy is always playing to the best tactics that will suit him best.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Halbert lately, you know, we're seeing a different side of Halbert in the last little bit. You know, we're seeing a new Halbert, and certain people don't like it. And, you know, that's what happened wrestling for a cure, I guess. Playboy finally had enough of Halbert and curb stomped him. And I mean,
Playboy will cut out the people that, who in his opinion have outlived their usefulness. And apparently at that point of wrestling for, you know, now that he's the NGW heavyweight champion and is well entrenched in that, Halbert's outlived his usefulness.
Yeah.
Do I want bad things to happen to Halbert? Not all the time, but the thing is, you know, you lay down with dogs, you wake up with fleas.
I mean, West Avenue in comments saying Playboy gonna be the champ till 2040.
Wow. Well, you know, Playboy has been over the last several months has been adding a lot of new members to PYT. A lot of strong new members to PYT, making PYT even bigger and stronger than what it was before. You know, we've seen it with the adding of the Diamond Marco Hendricks. We've seen it with Chris Cutler. We've seen it with Tobias Storm. You know, we've seen all these people keep adding PYT, and it's just the numbers game is out of control with them.
But the one constant that's always remained is Playboy Double H. PYT exists for one simple reason, and that is to keep Playboy on top. And he will sacrifice anything and anyone to stay that way.
I don't see him ever sacrificing Nicki Monroe or Virgil.
In a heartbeat. He will sacrifice them in a heartbeat.
I wouldn't think so. But, you know, the biggest news to come out of Wrestling for a Cure, though, is that they achieved one of their goals of having their biggest collection ever in a year.
Yes.
They collected $15,300 for the fight against childhood cancer, and their grand total is now sitting at $93,386 for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital.
Yes. You know, I knew
there's not a doubt in my mind that next year they're going to blow past the $100,000 mark for season.
You know, when they said they were trying to get close to whatever they had that was their biggest year, and then they surpassed it. Now, you know, now the goal is to hit over 15,000 now. It's going to get – season 10 is just going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah. So keep an eye out on the Wrestling for a Cure Facebook page for any upcoming announcements for season 10. And when we had them on last week, they say don't talk to us about the next year until August. But, you know.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, those guys do incredible work all year long to lead up to the show in July. If anyone's earned a break, it's them. Let them, you know, take a minute. You know, look back on what they've done. I mean, $15,000 is an incredible amount of money, and it's going to easily one of the most worthy causes, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And in August, you know, kick off the new season and break that $100,000 barrier. You know, it's well worth it for what they're doing. It's well worth it for the cause, and that any of us get to be a part of it is. It's just big.
Big shout out to Wrestling for Your Cure for all that they've done and put together over these last 9 years. It's just incredible.
Yeah. You know,
go ahead, Scott.
Another one of the highlights of the night, you know, was the Wrestling for a Cure Heavyweight Championship of Sid Holland versus Yoder. Yoder was actually able to gained the victory over Sid Holland, so we have a new Wrestling for a Cure heavyweight champion with Yoder.
Oh.
But Sid came back strong in the night. He came back and won the Battle Royal.
Oh, outstanding. So Sid, even Sid Holland came away.
Yes.
With a good night under his belt.
Yes, it was a great night for wrestling. It was a great night. You know, the fans were... You know, there was a lot of fans there, and everybody was excited for the wrestling, and just it was a great night for wrestling and for, you know, what it represented, all the money that they raised.
Yeah, big congratulations to Wrestling for a Cure. Now, Guido, I have a question for you because, you know, at the top of the show when we showed your card, it had that both Natalya and Becky Lynch decided to do a heel turn within a month of you taking a photo with them. Why should anyone want to take a photo with you now?
You know, to be honest, I don't know how this works out. And it turns out as I'm redoing some things, there's a third person we can add to that list. I was able to get a picture with this person after the 2023 Royal Rumble, and shortly after they joined the Judgment Day, Rhea Ripley.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. I guess all I could say is my bad.
So when they get a picture with you, they need to sign a waiver, or like, you know, something.
They gotta stop bringing cookies. I don't know what, man.
We got Lady D saying Guido the reason we can't have nice things.
Yeah, I'll admit it.
That's,
you know, I mean that's the thing, you know, being able to meet some of these higher tier talents, and it's just weird though. It's just like shortly thereafter, these three turn heel, and at some point, I have to look at myself like maybe it's me.
Yeah, maybe after the fifth or sixth one, you go, maybe it's me. I don't know. Maybe it's just
so. So was it? Did the series go Natalya, Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley? It started
yes.
with Natalya.
Yes, it was Natalya first, and then Becky, and then Rhea.
So, do you think that, like, you know, you had like Natalya, Becky standing there, and then they see you, and they're just watching you, going, "All right, who's he going to walk up to? All right, it's her turn."
Well, I don't know how. I mean, considering in between those, the time I met Becky and the time I met Rhea, I did lose quite a bit more weight. So, yeah. And I had hair. Now,
was this also the was there also the Playboy shaving your head between the photos?
I don't know if that had anything to do with it. Maybe, huh? I was asked for a fun pact. I'm like, well, this happened.
So how did the stipulation come down to where PYT was responsible for you getting your head shaved?
Well, I was escorted into the ring as they were, unfortunately my last show, well, before this, the rebirth of, RCW, Playboy had, he was digging the whole night to his reign. I want to say it was his third reign as RCW heavyweight champion. And they were celebrating, and I was told to get in. I was told to get into the ring in no uncertain terms. Pimpernel Blundy, God rest his soul, jabbed me in the gut with his cane. I got held down, and they shaved my head and beat me up.
So you were just wrong place, wrong time.
Pretty much. But then again, I keep getting told by people that I should let things go because it's been 5 years now. No. That was embarrassing. It took eight members of PYT that they had at the time to beat up an announcer.
So I think that says something about you weren't doing commentary at the time.
And I was I still am a commentator. You know, my wrestling, in-ring wrestling career has only been about 27 seconds, but I have to say that it took eight of you to beat me up. You know, it's like a great comedian said, I don't know how many people it would take for them to kick my ass, but I knew how many they were going to use.
Exactly, yeah.
There's a handy piece of information to have if you're ever in that situation.
Got Trees and Jans in the chat saying that's a record.
So you started 7 years ago and you worked with, you know, several companies doing commentary, you know, IWA, NGW, IEW, RCW, CHWA. What was your introduction into professional wrestling, into how you got started?
Well, myself and some people in your audience might be familiar, Mike Midas. We started a podcast in my basement. I don't know exactly when that started. Unfortunately, Mike had to step away from it, and I was left to my own devices. So I'm like, well, it's been fun so far. And so I started doing it on my own. And this caught the attention of Frank Reed, who started doing shows in Quincy. And he invited me to be part of his show. My first night of commentary, I worked with him at a RCW show at the Oakley Lindsay Center in Quincy, and we had a good time. I made a good impression, so he kept inviting me, booking me, and it went on from there, from RCW to IEW, then adding CHWA. Where I got to meet the folks running NGW, work with IWA Promotions as well, and it's been a lot of fun. I've worked with so many great broadcast partners, mostly someone's been chiming in, the Gem City Mouse, The Miz. You've been working with him, working with Frank himself. You know, Jean-Paul Vachon, The Godfather, Dynamite DW, Tyler Cooley on occasion. I even got to recently do a show with Hall of Famer Luke Roberts. I've been working with Patrick Brandenmeyer. And now Mike has come in as Mike Midas, been working with him. you know, working with Halbert as well. We've had our fun. It's been quite. I've worked with a lot of great people who have helped me get better, and I really just hope to do this for a very long time.
And we had that you're the first time that you ever were commentary was with Cowboy Bob Orton.
Yes, it was. Oh, if I'm not mistaken, Cowboy Bob Orton was teaming with Dirty Dick Brody, and it was against Douglas O'Shea and Brady Shadows. And I got to call Cowboy Bob doing the RKO on Brady Shadows.
Yeah, we have Phoenix Quinn in the chat saying it's always a pleasure to have you do commentary for NGW. Always good to work with you, and I can't agree more.
Oh, y'all make me blush. But no, it's been great working. Work with everybody at NGW Phoenix. The other
CEO. Donde saying that you've done commentary with Shaft.
Exactly. I started working with Shaft. That's also been a pleasure working with a legend in the business. You know, and I've done some shows with other great legends, Casey Cowboy, Crazy Kid Curry. You know, some other great legends in that aspect. It's amazing who I get to sit with at the commentary table and what they bring to it.
We have Phoenix saying that you've shared the ring a couple of times as announcers.
Yes, we have. You know, it's always fun working with Phoenix. I have to say that it's because she's just a wonderful, incredibly nice lady. And I'm not just saying this because she signs my NGW checks. I swear it's, you know, it's great to work with her.
Now I have to ask something of you, at the beginning of the year, NGW Endless Winner, there was the fans versus weapons match with Playboy and Ricky Cruz. And one of the weapons that was used wasn't brought by a fan. It was brought by Guido. Why did Guido have a glass bottle during a fans bring your weapons match?
Well, I mean, we were wrapping up to the end of the night. You know, I've been going to enjoy a beverage every now and again. I didn't think they'd grab it.
It was a fans bring the weapons match, Guido. Of course they're going to grab anything that they can use.
Well, I mean, you know, if I'd have thought about it, I'd have brought a truckload of weapons. It would have been like New Jack dropped by.
But that also leads me to my next question is, you've called a plethora of matches over the years. What's your most memorable call that you've made? I think I stumped him, Scott.
I think so.
No, well, it's, I mean, there's just been so many that have stood out. Can I get three?
Yeah, do three.
Yeah, you can do three. Top three. Okay. You don't even have to put them in any order.
Okay. I think if we're gonna go from ones that stand out, I'd have to say one that when we first came back from the pandemic, the whole show of CHWA's From the Ashes. It was the first show I did coming back from the pandemic. When Jody Ultra won the multi-man match for the CHWA Well, this time was the CSWA U.S. Championship. Him winning that. Because just of how exciting it was and everybody involved. The cage match where War defeated Playboy for the RCW Heavyweight Championship. I think I actually lost my voice on that one.
You got to call a cage match?
I've gotten to call a few cage matches.
Oh, my.
That one really stood out.
That's the type.
Definitely having the honor of calling Chris Cade Marcellus Knight to crown the first ever NGW Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal match. I mean, that could have went either way. It was down to the wire on that one. I mean, they were so close. Every time you thought that was it, and they kept kicking out,
I remember, right, you were doing commentary with Halbert that night.
I was doing commentary with Halbert that night. It was the first time I'd done it in a while. It was like riding a bike.
And then you've also had, as you said at the top, the quite a few different commentary partners over the years. You know, I'm not going to ask you who the best is, but I would ask who your favorite to work with as. And by that, the person that you can, not really, you know,
you're wondering who's bribed me this week.
No, I'm wondering who you feel you have the most chemistry with.
Well, I mean, each person's different. But I'm not gonna lie. I think the person that I've always worked best with, and I've said this to a lot of people, is The Miz. It's like a couple. We may not have the same opinion on everybody. You know, sometimes we'll our opinions clash. I mean, what was it, one time on one of the wrestling road trips, he threatened to throw me out of my own car. But it's just when we're seated together, it's like two friends sitting on the couch watching wrestling. Although we're mic'd up to do it. And like I said, I've worked with a lot of people. Albert's challenged me in ways I never thought possible. You know, Jean-Paul Vachon and his multiple years of experience working with Shaft, who I still say the man has to take me shopping because you're talking the best dressed man at the commentary table.
Yes. No one can match his style.
I feel I look like a bum next to him. I'm not going to lie.
I know. I mean, the number of times I want to go shop with him too, because I'm not really a hat guy, but every time I see Shaft, he has an incredible hat on, and I just need his advice on purchasing a hat.
I think we all do, because a man doesn't just sound impressive, he looks impressive.
Yes.
You know, and getting to help Tyler Cooley make that transition from fan to actually being a part of the show, you know, helping Mike to ingratiate himself with the faithful as Mike Midas. I've, you know, but it's like I said, you know, Working with The Miz, it's like another level. I would put us up. I would put us up there with the greats like JR and the King, like Tony Schiavone and Mike Tenay. As far as greatness, I may, you know, that's for the fans and history to decide. But like, as far as chemistry.
So what do you think is the most important lesson? Oh, speaking of, we got Shaft in the chat.
Sir.
What do you think is the most important lesson you've learned about doing commentary?
It's actually the lesson I've applied to life. That's stay humble and stay hungry. Because you're not going to be perfect every time. There's always something to learn. You know, who knows where my career can go, where it will go. But you know, it's, I get to sit here and say, I've had a career in professional wrestling, and that's something nobody can take away from me.
And that's also just a great thing to be able to say. And I'm going to ask a little bit of advice from you, though, Guido. Because, you know, at the top of the show here, I messed up Scott's name. I called him Scoot. What's the best way to recover from something like that?
Move on. Move on. Take your ribbings in the back because it's going to happen. And if it's bad enough, see if Matthew will send you a check to use it on Botchamania.
Yeah.
So what's the worst mistake you've made making a call, do you think?
Oh, I know this. It was an IEW show. And I accidentally announced Shrapnel as the IEW heavyweight champion. He was the Midwest champion at the time. He slapped me on the back and said, thanks for the promotion.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's not as bad. I mean, hey, he came out to the music one time because of my fault. So it is what it is, because I was doing sound for WPW when they were doing shows, TV tapings over there in Mount Vernon. Well, I didn't write out the card, so I'm literally looking, and I just looked down, and it had somebody else's name, and I thought it said Shrapnel, so I just had to play the music, and he'd come out, and he's just like, what the heck? I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, we're already playing the music. Like, let's go.
We're live, pal.
Like, yeah, we're live, pal. Yeah, that one was Scott's fault. That one was my fault. I'm like, well,
no, it did say Scott's fault. It said Scoot's fault.
Oh, now we're gonna do I gotta get new stickers now, Scoot?
I think you gotta get new stickers.
Scoot's fault.
Oh. But you know what? I'm kind of glad that you brought up Shrapnel here, Guido, because there's something I kind of love doing on this show. And that is, in regards to Shrapnel, we just so happen to have a little bit of... breaking news!
Oh, you love when you get to break the...
Oh, I love breaking news!
Well, who doesn't?
So, in regards to Shrapnel, we just found out that Shrapnel will be present at the next NGW show, Scorched Earth, August 16th.
I mean, okay.
And Shrapnel is going to be facing Logan Ridge for a chance at the Lightning Division Championship. Or for a chance to have a match for the Lightning Division Championship against the current reigning and defending NGW Lightning Division Champion, Preacher.
Wow.
We're up to one on that one. Yeah. Yeah. We're
at one.
You know, we did have Shrapnel on not that long ago, you know, just making a return not that long ago for IWA Productions. Yeah. And now, you know, is finally making his return. We knew it was going to happen sooner or later. We just didn't know when. You know, when we see Shrapnel at IWA, we knew he was hopefully going to be returning to NGW. And now we got the confirmation that he will be at Score Church on, what is, August 12th?
August 16th.
August 16th, yes. So, yes.
Let's make sure.
Yep, that is going to be, that is going to be a match. I mean, you know, Logan Ridge and Shrapnel, they are no strangers to each other. They have had countless matches to each other. And, you know, it's a different... It's a different Logan Ridge. It's not the Logan Ridge that was a part of the New Deal, that was a part of Halbert's group. It's the more hungrier Logan Ridge now with Shrapnel coming back after being gone almost a year. You know, he's got a lot to prove, and he's going to show that he belongs right in that Lightning division for that Lightning NGW Lightning division title, and that's going to be a great match.
Yeah, you know, it's great to have Shrapnel back, and he and Logan Ridge will definitely tear the house down.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. But you know, there are a couple other matches that we're going to be having coming up here on the 16th. For example, we're going to be having the PYT, Tobias Storm and Marco Hendricks facing the Fam, Alex Steele and Marcellus Knight for the NGW Tag Team Championship. As you know, we've got Tobias Storm out on social media, very proud of the fact that he got a pinfall victory over Alex Steele. And
yeah,
decided that, you know, he's earned a PYT an opportunity to face off for the Tag Team Championships.
Also, got to say, if PYT gets all the belts, we're never going to hear the end of it.
Well, you know,
that's true.
Playboy did say that 2025 was the year of PYT, and you know, now with Tobias and Marco getting a shot at the tag team titles, I mean, who knows with them?
Yeah, we got Dardar saying that they're going to be walking away with all the titles this year.
I'm sure there's some people that have plenty to say about that.
Oh, yeah.
And we got Marcellus Knight in the chat saying that he says that every year.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's not wrong.
In NGW, it's shaping up that way for him.
The year of PYT always, it sounds like the summer of George, you know, for all the Seinfeld fans in the house.
Yes.
So but who we do you know you'll be walking away with that one, Guido.
Don't get me wrong. Marco Hendricks and Tobias Storm, they do make a great team. And do I think the fans should take them out lightly? Absolutely not.
Yeah, either way, that's gonna be a barn burner right there. And, you know, one that I'm really excited to see. It was made while we were at the last NGW show. We're going to be having Cassandra Golden taking on Nyx.
Exactly. The second chance match of the women's tournament.
I want one of these women are going to be facing off against Shaza McKenzie.
Yeah, that was
one of those three is going to be going on to face Lexi Green.
Yeah, that match, I was surprised on that one. You know, we did have Halbert come out and admit that there was a little bit of a controversy in the finish and awarded Cassandra Golden that second opportunity match, which that was shocker right there to see Halbert actually awarding that match. But yes, now we're down to the final final few,
final three matches.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That, you know, right now Lexi Green has her, as far as I know, she's in the finals.
Yeah, she is.
Lexi Green versus, you know, we have this, you know, it's going to be, you know, versus Shaza and whoever wins between Cassandra Golden and Nyx.
Yes, because now after this, after Scorch Earth, we will be down to either Shaza or Nyx. We'll take on Lexi Green for the finals. We know Lexi Green is in the finals. It's she's already guaranteed her spot in the finals. Now we're just going to find out, is it going to be Shaza, is it going to be Nyx, or is it going to be Cassandra Golden to take on Lexi Green for that title?
And well, we can't discount the Gospel of Damnation, because both Manson and Preacher did play a role in that match.
Yes, they did. You know, Manson did play a role distracting me trying to come in the ring. He actually started biting my leg, and that's what caused my distraction, because I was trying to get him out, and it hurt.
I hope you had all your shots, Scott.
Oh, I do, but you know that guy is a little. That guy's creepy. I call him the creepy little bastard. That's what I call him. CLB.
He is a CLB. I can tell you that.
Like one time at IWA, I was going to leave, going to put my bag in the car. I closed my trunk, and he'd come crawling out from underneath my car, started skating across the parking lot, and I don't know. He scares me.
Did you check your brakes?
Yeah. It was fine that night. I don't know. I mean, he's kind of creepy, but yes, the numbers game with them, you know, with the Gospel of Damnation, you know, favors into Lexi Green 100%. But, you know, I'm not counting any of these women out because, you know.
Yeah. I mean, on paper, Lexi Green has everything you could need in a champion, but the game ain't played on paper.
That's the ultimate truth right there.
Exactly.
It's all about what happens inside the squared circle.
Yes. And we know one match that was announced on, I don't know if it's been officially, well, it was announced through videos, but, you know, we found out that the winner of the Wrestling for a Cure Heavyweight Champion, it was either going to be Chris Cade or Playboy Double H, was going to go one-on-one at Scorch Earth against Dexter Roswell.
Yes.
So it will be Playboy Double H versus Dexter Roswell. And, you know, these two have unbelievable history together.
Oh, yeah. I know Dexter wants to get that title back.
Oh, yeah.
In the worst way. Because he worked so hard to get it in November. He represented NGW well as heavyweight champion. But I know for a fact he wants that title back.
And, you know, the stipulation of
Battle Lines, I mean, Playboy just kind of tricked everybody.
Yeah. Said he wasn't going to be there at all. Came out the right opportunity. And pretty much it could have been counted to 100. There was no way. It was not. It was like 8-on-1. So 8-on-2. But that was he picked the perfect time to catch.
Don't act surprised.
He certainly did.
I mean,
y'all act surprised. This is what I've learned. You know, to paraphrase another quote, believe half of what you see, a quarter of what you hear, and nothing that comes out of Playboy's mouth. Because if you believe a word he says, it's your own fault.
Yeah. You know, Playboy proved that it's all about Playboy, and he's going to do whatever he can to remain champion.
What did I tell you?
Yeah.
So, Guido, you know, I know that you've watched the show before. I've seen you commenting down in the comments. So, you're very familiar with the fact that we like to play a game with our guests. And we like to call that game... Shock Therapy.
You know, it's been suggested I get some shock therapy. Wonder why.
But, you know, for anybody new, the way that shock therapy works is we ask our guests a series of 3 multiple choice questions. They get 2 out of the 3 multiple choice questions right. They will win a prize for one of our viewers. And this week, the viewer that you're going to be playing for... It's actually going to be the infamous... Oh, where did he go? Oh, no. We lost Guido.
We lost Guido. I think he was trying to check something, and we lost him for a second, but hopefully
Guido,
he'll get back.
Come back.
Guido, you can't play the game. We can't play the game without you.
Guido, there he is.
Okay. All right. Sorry, guys. We had a bit of a technical difficulty. My apologies.
Just a small technical difficulty.
Yeah. Well, I'm on the road. I'm on the road making moves, and unfortunately, I don't have the GGO staff with me here. So make things run smooth.
So anyway, as I was saying before, I was interrupted. Is that you?
Much like the three heel turns, my bad.
Yeah. Now shock therapy's turn heel.
Yeah, but you don't
eat the cookies.
You're actually going to be playing for the infamous Dardar this week.
Ooh.
So if you get 2 out of 3 questions right, you will win a signed poster for Dardar. So, and you know what? We haven't had a loser yet.
Well, I don't aim to be the first.
Been doing this for almost a year now. So, are you ready for your questions, Guido?
Oh, ready as I'll ever be.
Now, we do like to theme our questions the best we can to our guests. Mm-hmm. So I thought that the most appropriate thing would be, since you're the Guido, I should probably ask you about other Guidos.
Okay.
So your first question is, in the movie Cars, who is Guido? Is it A, a race car who only turns left? B, a tiny forklift who loves changing tires? C, a talking GPS with attitude? Or D, a bumper sticker with dreams?
This is where I'm thankful that I have watched the movie Cars. I'm very well versed with Guido in Cars. Because I got 2 words for you. Pizza. The answer is B, a tiny forklift who loves changing tires.
B, a tiny forklift who loves changing tires. And you are correct. So how many times have you seen Cars?
As a grown man, more than I care to admit.
All right, we have one down. You just have to get one more right to win that side poster for Dardar. Are you ready for your second question?
All right, let's do this. I'm on a roll.
All right, question 2. On Jersey Shore, what does the word Guido usually describe? Is it A, a rare type of pasta with hair gel? B, a person who only tans by moonlight? C, a guy with big muscles, spiky hair, and a love for gym and clubs? Or D, a dance move that has been banned in 3 states?
That's Donde dancing.
Oh, on the tough. The Jersey Shore is littered with Guidos.
Yeah.
I gotta do this for my boy Paulie D. A guy with big muscles, spiky hair, and a love for the gym and club. C.
Your answer is C, and you are correct. Because I'm pretty sure that a person who only tans by moonlight is a vampire.
It's kind of hard to get a tan by moonlight. I've worked overnights for a while. It's,
that doesn't work out very.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you got to get that GTL, the gym, the tan, the laundry.
We have Marcellus Knight in the chat saying, don't be ashamed to watch cartoons. And we have Jason Heath, the NGW sound engineer, saying, I'm a Disney and Pixar fan, so no shame in being an adult who enjoys those films.
No. The last movie I went to go see was the live action Lilo and Stitch. So,
how was that?
I liked it. I liked it. It. I mean, there were some changes I didn't particularly care for, but it did pretty much stay true to the original.
My only thing, because I haven't seen it, But when I saw the commercials for it, the thing that went through my head was, Lilo and Stitch, didn't that movie just come out? And I looked it up, and it came out 20 years ago?
Yeah, 2002. And
that
was
my realization that I think I'm getting up there in age.
You mean it wasn't the hairline migrating, or the fact that you when you walk around you start sounding like Rice Krispies going snap crackle and pop?
No, it was the fact that I thought 20 years ago was like, you know, 6 months ago. As we grow older, our sense of time seems to change. But congratulations, though, Guido, you have two correct answers, so you have won that signed poster for Dardar.
But, well, Dardar, I hope you enjoy it.
But we do have a third question for you. You want to see if you can go 3 for 3?
Well, we've gone this far. I'm playing with house money, so.
All right, and your third question. Which of these is a real famous Guido? Is it A, Guido McCheese, the mayor of Fast Food Town? B, Guido Van Rossum, the guy who created the Python programming language? C, Guido the Great, a magician who pulls laptops out of hats? Or D, Guido Luigi Ravioni, winner of the 1999 Pizza Olympics?
Okay, well, it's very interesting that you have these choices. Because Mayor McCheese's actual name was Rodolfo. It wasn't Guido. So,
I did not know
that. My name's Guido. I should know my Guidos. You know, I have appreciation of the name, much like I appreciate a good mafia kick. Guido the Great, that was not where he was pulling the laptops out of. And Guido Luigi Ravioli, he won the 1997 Pizza Olympics. He was actually disqualified in 1999 for performance-enhancing sauce.
Okay, where the heck was the Pizza Olympics at? Because I missed it every year.
In 1999, it was in Naples.
See, I didn't get the memo on the Pizza Olympics. I mean, I didn't know you can get disqualified for contaminated sauce. I mean, they must be real strict down there.
Oh yeah, man. You think you saw it as bad. So, for these, I'm going to go with the guy that created the Python programming language. B, Guido Van Rossum.
Guido Van Rossum, the guy who created the Python programming language. You are correct, sir. Oh, my goodness. Performance-enhancing sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's... And you think it's just bad when they put so much garlic in.
See, I would have thought he would have been disqualified for accidentally making a calzone instead, but you just had to go the extra mile.
Oh, no, you're not disqualified. You're flogged. They take you out back. They take you out back and beat you with the pizza paddle.
And the breadsticks. Those breadsticks will knock you out. They'll give you concussions.
Oh, yeah.
But congratulations. You got all three of those questions right. But that does kind of bring me to another quick question. Is a calzone a pizza?
No.
Is it a sandwich?
A calzone is a lazy abomination. That is what it is. See, a calzone will hide the fact that you suck at making pizza. That is what a calzone is.
You know what Donde's favorite calzone is? Three of them.
I thought it was the next one.
Good, Ben.
Got Lady D saying it's a pizza omelet. Oh.
Look, I'm just saying, it's, you know, if you enjoy that sort of thing, you know, to each their own. I'm just saying, you know, calzone's just a you know, it was invented to hide the pizza. It was invented by someone who couldn't make a pizza right.
When it comes to pizza, you know, I think you have to have like a nice crispy crust.
And don't overload the toppings. There's like, because there's I've seen too many pizza places that have done, like, they'll just throw everything on a pizza, but then it won't bake properly.
Well, you know, the thing is, so let me ask you this here. When you're making a pizza, do you go crust, sauce, cheese, toppings, or crust, sauce, toppings, cheese?
As long as you don't go Detroit style and crust, cheese, sauce, and whatever the heck else the crazy people do put on there, but like, you know, I'll blind bake the crust, and then we'll put the sauce on. You know, it should, you know, you should, if you're doing like per se like 14, 16 inch pizza, you know, just like one ladle of sauce. That is all the sauce you need. I mean, yeah, if you want to go a little gung-ho, go for it. But, you know, and then your cheese, and then, well, I'll do a little bit of cheese, then some toppings, then more cheese.
That's good. Because I think that the cheese needs to go on top, and you have to have, you use the cheese to trap the toppings, so when you're eating the pizza, the toppings don't go everywhere. Yeah, Scott, exactly. You're awfully quiet on the pizza talk.
I think he's writing it down.
That's right. Writing down the recipes. But, you know, so, Guido, where can fans catch you on the commentary booth and the ring in action?
Well, I'll definitely be in the house next weekend, next Saturday, for CHWA Golden Glory, August 9th, I will be in Granite City for IEW's for very, very big show. I forget the name of the title at the moment. It's more. Where we're having our big. We're having our big 5-on-5 elimination tag to determine ownership of IEW. And then you catch me August 16th.
War of the Ages is the next IEW show. War of the Ages. Yes.
Okay.
That's the show that you're talking about.
Wow. I'm going to get beat within an inch of my life for forgetting the name of that. But but that'll be August 9th and August 16th. NGW Scorched Earth.
In Muscuda.
Exactly.
Yes.
Of course, you can catch me on social media. The Guido Goes Off on Facebook. R_man_Guido on X and Instagram. And, you know, catch me walking around a little Chicago.
Chicago?
Little Chicago.
Oh, Little Chicago. Okay.
Little Chicago.
Ah, all right.
I'll explain the distinction here in a, you know, later. So
we got Donde saying, Referee Scott, Donde's hungry.
Good Lord.
He's always hungry.
I think it was the pizza talk that did it to him.
Yeah, could be.
We should have stopped for snacks before we did the show.
Oh, trust me, Donde's got snacks.
Well, about to see, get everything else. I think he maybe has some beef jerky and a cold soda in there.
Yeah, trust me, you don't want to eat what he tried to offer me, a half a ham sandwich. I don't think that ham's been around since the '80s.
That's something that a lot of people I don't think really know, is that food is an integral part of wrestling. Because, you know, you got to get your fill before a show. You got to get your fill after a show because you're tired and hungry after a show. And, you know, I mean, pizza's kind of one of my favorites to get. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't like pizza. Guido, who do you think on the NGW roster makes the best pizza?
I don't know. I've never been invited to anybody's house for it.
Now I'm sad. Do you want to come over for some pizza, Guido?
That's the thing. I don't know, but I'm like after a show, I'll have pizza or some pasta, but like after shows, I'm all for Waffle House.
All right, how do you like your hash browns?
Smothered and chunked.
Donde says Guido was there when Mean Man slapped Donde's burrito away.
Oh, I remember that when that happened.
Yeah, I remember having to clean up that burrito.
Who slapped the burrito out of his hand?
I'm trying to remember.
I don't know.
It was very Mean Man.
Donde decided to wait till his match started to go underneath the ring and heat up a burrito. There was a microwave underneath the ring.
We still don't know how it got there.
I don't know either.
When it comes to Donde, who knows how anything gets
I don't even know how he got it plugged in because there's no power underneath the ring. Somehow there was power to it.
I think he had an APS with him.
Something.
Come on. And those are, I'd like to know where he got one of those. Those are pricey.
I think he got one of those Coleman microwaves.
But, you know, I can't thank you enough for joining us here tonight, Guido. It's been an absolutely wonderful time talking with you, learning about everything that you've done, all the people that you've been able to work with. And so just one last thing I'd like to know is, out of the matches that we have so far, which one are you looking forward to seeing the most?
It's a stacked card. I know. Cassandra Goldman and Nick's are going to tear it down. Card yet.
Yeah, we haven't even had the full card yet. We haven't had. You know what? You know what? I'm trying to figure out. You know, we haven't had. Our Lightning Division champion Preacher has not got announced for.
We are always watching.
My bad. I forgot.
That's on you this week, buddy.
I forgot where we were at on the counter. I thought we were at one. I didn't know. Oh. I didn't know we were at an. I didn't know we were up to two already.
Well, yeah. All these system break-ins. Good Lord.
Yeah, we have a Beetlejuice kind of thing with Preacher. You know, it's okay once you say it the first three times, but you never know where he can hear. Okay.
But that's right a good point, though. We still don't know who he's going to be facing or who's going to be defending his Lightning Division Championship.
You know, we do have some qualifying matches for, you know, contenders for that title. We do have Shrapnel and Logan Ridge. You know, those two are, you know, they definitely got their eyes on that Lightning Division Championship. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that are wanting to get it. It's just a matter of, you know, it's the numbers game. You know, you may come for him, but, you know, Preacher's not out there alone. He's got Brujo. He's got Lexi. He's got Manson. He's got, you know, he's got the numbers. And there's some powerful numbers. And we'll just have to see. You know, we still got a few weeks left before Star Church. So we got some matches that will be announced. It's going to be a great show either way.
Yeah, we're about a month away.
Yeah. These big shows are getting closer and closer.
Yes.
Yep, I can't wait. But I want to thank you again for joining us here tonight, Guido. Did you have anything else before you have to take off for the evening?
I'm trying to think. I guess it's it is safe to take a picture with me. Apparently, as long as you're not in the WWE Women's Division,
okay,
it is perfectly safe to take a picture of me.
So, but none of the WWE roster should be concerned about taking a picture with you.
Look, I'm just saying, if you start feeling compunctions, you may want to consult your mental health professional. But I am perfectly safe.
We have Dardar disagreeing with you. He says, no, it isn't.
No, no, it's perfectly fine. Trust me. Sorry, just messing with y'all. No, it's perfectly fine.
But I want to thank you again for joining us here tonight, Guido. And we look forward to seeing you on the 16th of August for Scorched Earth.
And I look forward to calling the action for the NGW Faithful.
Yep. Thank you very much. You have a good night, Guido.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Guido.
So, Scott, do you want to get your picture taken with Guido?
No, I think I'm good. I think I'm good. I mean, I don't want to take.
I know a guy who takes some pretty good pictures.
I know Donde. He does pretty good shots.
No.
Hey, if I want a picture of my feet or the ceiling, I go with Donde, you know.
Yeah, he's been taking pictures of fans lately. But anyway.
Well, he said he is. He takes pictures of every fan he sees. That way he can show all the people, all of his fans from all over the world. But he don't understand that's not the same thing. He thinks it's the same thing. He said he has.
I don't know.
He showed me one time he had 987 pictures of different fans.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
But yo, Scott, I can't wait for Scorched Earth. But yes. You know what? Here next week though, we got another show coming up.
We do have IWA Productions presents Red, White, and Bruised. Yes. Which we will. You know, which we will see, you know, next weekend. It's going to be nice. Mount Vernon, Illinois, you know, which we will have, which we didn't talk about on the show, which I'm surprised. You know, the last IWA production show, we had a new IWA heavyweight champion.
Yes, Sid Holland defeated Preacher and became the new IWA heavyweight champion.
Yes, so Sid Holland will be there in action. You know, we know there's going to be a lot of people there. You know, we have a couple matches that were announced. We will be talking about that more in detail next week as we get closer because we are still a little over a week away. But, yes, we do have some wrestling in the meantime before Scorched Earth. So, you know, you don't have to wait till August 16th to get your next wrestling show.
No, not at all. But I want to go ahead and thank all of everybody for viewing here with us tonight. And also a special thanks to our sponsors. Nick's Home Decor, Bi-State Termite and Pest Control, Needful Things Boutique in Muskego, Illinois, Laser Monkey Engraving, and the Ringside Buffet. And Scott, did you have anything else before we take off for the week?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Yep, and everybody make sure that you share, like, subscribe, give us a good top rope elbow drop on that like button, and we'll see you next week.